The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the second and third chapters. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need of food? He entered the house of God, where Abiathar was high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and he gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for humankind, and not humankind for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.' Again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand. They watched him to see whether he would cure him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, 'Come forward.' Then he said to them, 'Is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save life or to kill?' But they were silent. He looked around at them with anger. He was grieved at their hardness of heart and said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately conspired with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. God alone gives you life. God alone gives you life. Not the money in your bank account or the number of likes on your Instagram post. Not even the family that loves you and is surrounding you right now or the business you've built from the ground up. Not A's on term papers or the number of cards you get on your birthday. Nothing but God alone gives you abundant life and love that will sustain. God alone gives you everything that you need. And sometimes that love is shown through the giving of law and commandments. Not just simple rules and guidelines to make life less fun, but God's word given to the Israelites now enables us to live in response to the blessings God has given. The law is actually a gift, created to help us live the abundant life that God so freely offers. And this particular law seems to be one of the easier ones. Observe the Sabbath and keep it holy. A gift God first gave to God's self, a day to rest and to enjoy the fruits of creation, a day to soak in the beauty of the world. For 6 days, God made the seas and the sky, the birds and the fish, the animals, and us humans. And on the seventh, God rested. God stopped. God ceased to create and simply chose to be. Then this gift was given to God's people, to the Israelites who had toiled as slaves in Egypt, who never had a day of rest in their entire lives, who were forced to always endure and to never enjoy. After delivering them from the oppressive life of slavery, God wants them never again to experience that weight of endless work. So God gives them the gift of Sabbath rest. And for a while they followed. They toil for 6 days, and on the seventh day too soaked in the beauty of creation and rested in the goodness of God. They held their babies on their laps and chided the toddlers who ran through the conversations of their elders. They rested securely in the love of God, remembering how God had freed them from slavery and then given them the gift of good and holy rest. But soon problems began to arise. When those in charge began to forget about the gift, instead turning the blessing into a list of do's and don'ts with regulations and narrow parameters of rules to follow, don't harvest any grain, don't walk very far, don't separate two strings from another. Don't. And what was supposed to be a moment of grace, a time to sustain life, became just another form of oppression, where alleviating suffering and striving for wholeness became far less important than following the supposed law. Centuries later, it was this view of the law that angered Jesus. He mourned that what the Creator had given as gift was now turned on its head to make people suffer, to keep them in their supposed place by those in charge. And Jesus, revealing to us what the kingdom of God looks like, refused to let this life-giving commandment be reduced to narrow-minded rule following, which in turn made those in charge angry as well. Because when Jesus restores life and liberates the oppressed and showers grace upon the broken, the response from those who benefit from those who are broken and powerless is to reject him and to resist him and ultimately to plot for his death. Jesus shows that the Sabbath is indeed made for wholeness, for compassion, for life. And by healing the man with the withered hand, he reveals life is most clearly shown when we direct our actions toward the needs of our neighbor. For as much as I wish it were so, the Sabbath is not only about taking a beloved Sunday afternoon nap, but instead, as someone said, that since the Sabbath is for the sake of life, it means getting back to the world and figuring out where life needs to happen. We keep the Sabbath so as to look around and ask, who else needs rest? Who is in need of life when no one else seems to notice? We keep the Sabbath for the sake of resilience and ongoing resistance to fight the righteous fight. In the beginning, the Sabbath was actually one of the very first labor laws given to the Israelites after their deliverance from slavery. They were told to not only take a day off for themselves, but also their sons and daughters, male and female slaves, ox, donkey, livestock, and all the resident aliens in their town, so that all may rest in the goodness of God. I wonder, where does resurrected life need to be brought forth in our own lives and in the lives of our neighbors? Where is Sabbath rest needed? Where can we strive to bring about the kingdom of God as Jesus did, seeking wholeness and rest for all those in need? Because I know there are so many who simply don't get any Sabbath at all. Those without homes among us, those who can't support their children, those who struggle to put food on their table. Many are working three or more jobs, nights and weekends and mornings, and there is no Sabbath rest in sight. How might then we rested ones fight for them as well? How might we give them not only a Band-Aid, but seek to change the laws that oppress? How might we seek wholeness for all God's people? How might we look at the world and see where life needs renewed and restored? How might we keep the Sabbath, knowing it's not just about our own rest, but rest for all those around us? A lot of questions, a lot of work that goes along with this life-giving commandment, a whole lot of unanswered questions. But don't let it stop you from acting. Instead, remember that God alone gives you life, gives you the rest that you desire. Remember that Jesus goes before you, showing you what the kingdom of God looks like. And remember that the Spirit goes with you, so that together you might give Sabbath rest to all God's people. Amen.